this lesson is called Preparing for Soul Winning. Preparing for soul winning. So before we even get into how to present the gospel, we want to talk to you about how to prepare for soul winning. Lesson number one there on page number three. So notice point number one, let's talk about the soul winner's goals. The soul winner's goals. Now you'll notice there's a little FYI there for you, and that's for your information. Although our primary goal is to have someone saved when we go out soul winning. Obviously, when we go out knocking doors, our primary goal, what we're trying to do is get somebody saved. That is not our only goal. I want to be clear about that just right up front, because sometimes we go out soul winning and no one gets saved. And I've noticed with newer soul winners is that they'll go out soul winning and nobody gets saved, and then they'll get discouraged. And look, the truth of the matter is this, that all of us will have times where we will go out and maybe not see somebody saved for a few weeks. And you need to just realize that when we are out soul winning, obviously our main goal, our number one goal, is to get somebody saved. But when we're not getting anybody saved, we're still accomplishing a lot in regards to soul winning. Little by the way there, understanding what we're going to cover in this lesson, specifically about the soul winner's goal, is an integral part in being a lifelong soul winner, because you're going to have dry spells. You're going to have times when you don't get anybody saved. And if you don't understand these things, you're going to get demotivated and you may possibly quit. So obviously, we want to go soul winning and get somebody saved. We're going to train you today on how to present the gospel to get somebody saved. But before we get there, let's talk about this. What about when we go soul winning and no one gets saved? Well, letter A, when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, I want you to understand this. We may not have done any soul winning, but we have done some soul warning. We may have not done any soul winning, but we have done some soul warning. And to be honest with you, we call it soul winning, and I like that phrase. It's from the book of Proverbs. But sometimes I don't want to call it soul winning. I want to call it soul warning, because that's really what we're doing. That's our goal. When it comes to somebody getting saved, we don't have any control over that. People have to make that decision. All we can do is warn them. We can present them with the opportunity to be saved. Whether they want to be saved or not, they have to make that decision themselves. So I want you to understand, when we go out and we knock doors and we warn people, we have accomplished what we're supposed to do. Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, the Bible says, this is what Paul said. He said, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." In Colossians 1:28, he wrote this, "Whom we preach," referring to Christ, he says, "warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Here's a quote for you. We may not be able to win them all, but we can warn them all. And as we go out in our community, we knock doors, as we finish these maps and highlight the map of the city of Sacramento, I want you to understand, we want to get as many people saved. But our goal is to be able to say we've warned everyone. We've given everybody the opportunity to get saved. So if you go out and nobody gets saved, realize you've still done what you were supposed to do by warning people, by giving people the opportunity to be saved. So when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, we may not have done any soul winning, but we have done some soul warning. Then letter B, when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, we were at least obedient to God's command. And that's always a good day. When you are obedient to what God has called you to do. We've already read these verses a couple of times, but it's good to just read them again. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore," that's a command. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So if you say, "I went out soul winning for a couple hours and nobody got saved," well, you know what? You can walk away happy about the fact that you were obedient to God's command. He told you to go ye therefore, and you went. So praise the Lord for that. Our goal is to be winning people, but if we can't win them, let's at least warn them. We want to be obedient to God's command. And then letter C, when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, God will still reward us for our labor. God will still reward us for our labor or effort. The key word there is labor. And I think this is probably one of the most important things that soul winners need to understand. And it's this, that the Bible teaches that there's a judgment day coming for the believer. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, in which God is going to reward us. But I want you to understand something. He's going to reward us not for our results. He's going to reward us for our labor. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. I want you to understand these verses. He's saying, look, the person who plants, when he says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, he's saying the person that plants is no different than the person who waters. He says, but God that giveth the increase, now he that planteth and he that watereth, notice what he says, are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And what the Bible is teaching here is that if I go out soul winning and I plant a seed, I'm going to get the same rewards as the Christian that comes a year after me and they water that seed, or the Christian that comes after them, the soul winner comes after them, and they actually reap and get that salvation. We're all going to receive the same rewards. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. And the Bible says that it is God that giveth the increase. So look, when you and I get somebody saved, God does not reward us for getting somebody saved. God does not reward you for what God did. God is the one that got them saved. God is the one that sent his son to die on the cross. What you get rewarded for is for doing the labor. And what I've noticed, especially in churches like ours, is that people look at soul winning like if they're some sort of a salesman. They want to come back and report that they've had, you know, 15 salvations in the last 15 minutes or something. And we're supposed to be impressed with that. But please understand something. I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, that if I go out soul winning for 2 hours and I get nobody saved, it's just an unreceptive area. Nobody talks to me. Nobody allows me to preach the gospel to them. Or if I go soul winning in the Philippines for 2 hours and I get 5 people saved, I'm going to get the same rewards. God isn't, he's not going to say, well, when you were in the Philippines, you got 5 people saved, so I'm going to give you more rewards. No, I was doing what God called me to do. No matter where I was, I put in the labor, I put in the effort, and it is God that gives the increase. He that planteth and he that watereth are the same. They're doing the same work. So just understand this. When you go out soul winning and you put in a couple of hours labor and you say, nobody got saved, well, you know what? You earn some rewards in heaven because you're obedient to what God called you to do. And God, the Bible says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own, not results, but according to his own labor. So when we put in the work, when we do what God has called us to do, we are going to get rewarded. So when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, God is still going to reward us for our labor or effort. And then letter D, when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, we at least got the word out about our church. When we go out and nobody gets saved, we at least got the word out about our church. Your fill in there is the word church. And that should encourage you. And let me give you some soul winning statistics. On average, you'll find this to be true. I went to a church where they taught me this. And then when we started Verity Baptist Church, we don't do this anymore because we've got 100 soul winners that go out every week. So getting the statistics would be too difficult to be able to do it now. But back when it was just me and my wife or just a handful of soul winners, we would track these numbers, and they were not perfect, but we found that they were true on average. And when it comes to having visitors come to church, what we found is this, that for every 10 salvations, and if you want to write in the number 10 there, for every 10 people that got saved, we could count on pretty much one first-time visitor or visiting family. So if you're a soul winner, maybe you're here this morning and you say, I came to this seminar because I've had a lot of people saved, but I haven't had any converts come to church and be discipled. Just realize this, that if you're actively following up on about 10 salvations, you can average one person coming to church. Now, that may encourage you or that may discourage you. I don't know. But that's just the reality of the numbers. So we can count on for every 10 salvations, one of those is going to probably, on average, come to church as a visitor. Now, a visitor may be one single guy. It may be a visiting family of six. But in general, when we get 10 people saved, on average, we'll have one visitor in church. Not only that, but what we found was that for every 100 personal invitations, for every 100 personal invitations, we could count on one first-time visitor or visiting family. You say, what do you mean by that? That means we knock on somebody's door and we invite them to church. We say, hi, we're coming from Verity Baptist Church. We want to give you and your family an invitation to church. We found that if we could invite people and they took the invitation from us, then about 100 of those would produce one visiting family, one first-time guests. And what we also found is that for every 1,000 flyers that we handed out, we could count on about one first-time visitor or one visiting family. What I'm saying is all of these things are helping towards, you say, well, I went out sowing and nobody got saved. Yeah, well, we at least got the word out about our church. And collectively, as we put all this work together, as people get saved, people are inviting people to church, we're handing out these flyers, there's going to be visitors that come to church. And by the way, at our church, every Sunday, we have anywhere between 2 to 3 visiting units that come to our church. And it's a result of the soul winning efforts. Now, obviously, you say, yeah, well, they come to church, but they didn't get saved. But here's what I want you to understand. When someone comes to visit Verity Baptist Church, we have an entire ministry of specialized and specifically trained soul winners. You may or may not be aware of that. We call it our personal workers ministry, who are responsible for making sure that every guest gets the gospel. So when you go out and you say, all I did was hand out flyers, nobody even opened the door. But as a result of that, someone may come to church and then we're going to be able to specifically go to them and preach the gospel. And we have many guests that get saved after the services because we have soul winners that go out specifically to preach the gospel to them. So what I'm telling you is all of this helps, all of this works. Now, letter E, when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, you at least got to fellowship with your fellow brother or sister in Christ. And that's a great thing for you to be able to go out and fellowship with a fellow believer and be able to talk to them. You say, yeah, but nobody opened the door. Nobody let's talk to them. Nobody got saved. Well, you were out there and you were fellowshipping with a fellow believer. Iron sharpeneth iron. And it's good for you to spend time with other believers in Christ. And what I've learned in a church like ours, a lot of times people don't really get connected until they become soul winners. Sometimes they struggle with like developing friendships or getting to know people. But here's what I always tell people. If you feel like you're not developing friendships, first of all, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, of course. But come to the Saturday morning soul winning rally, because we have 100 people from our church show up every Saturday. And we have soul winning captains that are going to partner you with a soul winner. And they're going to partner you with a different soul winner every week. And you're going to get to know people and talk to people. And you're going to find that you're going to hit it off well with other people. You're going to fellowship. So these are all wonderful things and good things. So just realize when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, realize that there's a lot that is still going on. There's a lot that is being accomplished. We are maybe not winning others, but we are warning others. We're being obedient to God's commands. We are earning rewards for our labor. We're getting the word out about our church. And then let me just let you in on a little secret. When we go out soul winning, someone always gets saved. Now, you might say, well, I didn't get anybody saved last week. But here's the thing. When we send 100 soul winners out, somebody gets saved. Every week, there are people getting saved. You say, even when we go to the nice neighborhoods, when we send soul winners out, somebody is getting saved every week. So just realize that when it comes to soul winning, obviously this is a spiritual work. So don't take this the wrong way, but it's also a numbers game. And what that means is that there is somebody out there that is ready and willing to hear the gospel, and we need to find them. And it's going to be easier and faster for us to find them if we send 100 or 150 to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, it's going to take longer if we send 2 or 5. So just realize as we go out there, it really is a group effort. We're all putting in work. And when we go out as a church, someone's always getting saved. And praise the Lord for that. So that's number one, the soul winner's goals. And I really wanted to take some time with that and make sure you understood that. And then number two, let's talk about the soul winner's appearance. The soul winner's appearance. When dressing for soul winning, we want you to remember who it is that you represent. When you're out there soul winning, you're not representing yourself or just yourself only. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 says this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Notice this phrase, as though God did beseech you by us. Paul says, look, when you go soul winning, it's like God is preaching or God is bringing a message through you, by us. God is beseeching them by us. And notice this phrase, in Christ's stead. The idea is that as an ambassador, the same way that an ambassador represents a king or a president or the leader of a nation, we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are there in Christ's stead. You say, what does that mean? Instead of Christ being at that door preaching the gospel, he has sent us as his representative as his ambassadors. So realize when you are dressing for soul winning, remember who it is that you represent. You say, who do I represent exactly? Well, number one, should be obvious, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me just say this as well. Number two, you represent Verity Baptist Church. You represent our church when you are out soul winning. So when you are getting ready for soul winning and you're determining your appearance, we want you to consider a couple of things. First, that you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, that you represent Verity Baptist Church. Now, let me just talk about our church's soul winning dress standard. We don't make a big deal about this, but it is something that I like to let people know about. When it comes to soul winning, first of all, we ask that men please wear, at least, that you tuck your shirt in and wear a collared shirt, all right? Now, if you all know what I prefer a shirt and tie. But we ask that you at least wear a tucked-in collared shirt. Ladies, we ask that you please wear no low-cut shirts or pants, and that obviously you wear skirts and dresses, and those should be below the knee. Now, through the years, I've taught this, and people have gotten offended and said, I think you can go soul winning and flip-flops and shorts, and or I went to this other church, and they let me go soul winning and a wife beater, whatever. That's fine. That's between you and God. But let me just explain something to you. When it comes to the dress standards and our philosophy here at Verity Baptist Church, I think that we should take the work of God seriously. And I think we should at least take the word of God more seriously than McDonald's does. I mean, McDonald's is already beating us as far as reaching the world. McDonald's is doing a better job at reaching people throughout this entire world with their product than we, the local New Testament church, are doing than reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you go work at McDonald's, or if you go work at Burger King, you know what? They're gonna ask you to dress a certain way. They're gonna ask you to put on a certain uniform. Why? Because when you're working there, you represent them. And look, they're not gonna allow you to work at McDonald's while you're wearing a Burger King uniform. And they're not gonna allow you to work at Burger King while you're wearing a McDonald's uniform. They're gonna ask you to dress a certain way because you represent them. In a Verity Baptist Church, we ask our soul winners to dress a certain way because you represent Verity Baptist Church. You say, well, I don't think that highly of myself. Well, can you think that highly of the Lord Jesus Christ? And can you think that highly of our church? So if you're going to represent Verity Baptist Church, then we're going to ask that you dress in a certain way. And we don't enforce that. We don't tell people, you got to go home. Go take a shower and brush your hair. But we do ask that you meet certain standards. And by the way, let me just say this, because this is kind of like the offensive part of the seminar. So let me just throw everything out that's offensive. We also do not allow you to give out your own materials when you're out soul winning. Through the years, we've had people try to, oh, I wrote this material, or I brought this from another church. If you're going to represent Verity Baptist Church, then we're going to ask that you use the materials that we provide for you. And we ask that you be a representative of our church. So when it comes to preparing for soul winning, the soul winner's appearance, remember who you represent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that you represent Verity Baptist Church. Of course, we talked about the soul winner's goals, what we're accomplishing when nobody gets saved. And then number three, let's talk about the soul winner's rules. The soul winner's rules, all right? And again, we're going to get into all of the how to present the gospel and all that, but we got to hit some of this stuff and make sure everybody's on the same page. Number three, page five, the soul winner's rules. Letter A, let's talk about the silent partner, the silent partner. Now, a little FYI. If you are new to soul winning, and many of you are, if you're here for the Soy Seminar, maybe you're learning how to give the gospel, you have not yet given the gospel, we want you to start as a silent partner. And we will partner you. If you come to one of our soul winning meetings, we will partner you. If you let us know you're a silent partner, then we will partner you with a speaker. And what that means is that we'll partner you with somebody who knows what they're doing, they feel comfortable preaching the gospel at the door, and we'll allow you to be a silent partner where you can just be there with them and go preach the gospel. And sometimes people think because, oh, I'm just a silent partner, I don't need to go soul winning. And look, silent partners are important. And here's why. It allows us to be able to spread out and do more. If we have two soul winners that both are able to speak at the door, but we don't have anybody to partner them with, then we've sent two soul winners that can speak at the door together because we want them to go together. The Bible says two by two. We want them to fellowship. Obviously, for safety reasons, we want people going together. But let's say that two other soul winners showed up that were silent partners. Well, now we could put a soul winner that speaks with a soul winner that is learning to speak and another soul winner that speaks with a soul winner that's learning to speak or being a silent partner. Now we've doubled our effort. So it's important that if you're new at this, you still show up and you're going to learn a lot as a silent partner. So let's talk about being a silent partner. What does that mean? Number one, Do not interrupt. Do not interrupt. The key word in the term silent partner is this word, silent. People show up to soul winning and we're like, hey, do you want to be partnered with somebody who speaks? Oh, yeah, I'm a silent partner. Then you partner with someone and then they just won't shut up. The whole time you're preaching the gospel, they're just interrupting and inserting. And look, let me just explain something to you. If you're a silent partner, the key word is silent, all right? So do not interrupt. And let me just explain this as well for you speakers. When you're out soul winning, even if you say we both preach the gospel, at the door there's one speaker, and whoever's not speaking is the silent partner. So let's say I go soul winning, obviously I speak at the door, and I have another soul winner with me that also speaks at the door. Then if it's my door, if I'm knocking the door and I'm doing the talking, they don't talk. And if it's their door, I don't talk. Look, I'm the pastor of the stinking church, and I give people enough respect to not be interrupting them. That is a hard rule at our church. And look, it's not good to have just multiple people interrupting each other during the soul winning presentation. And it's not good for several people. First of all, it's not good for the soul winning partner themselves to just be constantly interrupted. But it's also not good for the person being spoken to. When you have one person talking to one person and there's a silent partner, they usually are able to take that and interact. But as soon as you have two people talking to that one person, they get very defensive because all of a sudden, just subconsciously, they feel like they're being ganged up on. Now they feel like you brought your buddy in to help you. So this is a very important rule, is that if you're the silent partner because you don't know how to preach the gospel, then you need to be silent, obviously. But even if you are the silent partner, you say, I know how to preach the gospel, but you're the silent partner at the door, it's important that you not interrupt. Now, let me just explain this. Let's say that you're out soul winning and you're the experienced person who preaches the gospel and you're with someone who's maybe starting out, they're new. The process that we go by and what I've taught our church family is this. If I'm with a new soul winner, what I tell them is this. When you're out soul winning, you just go as far as you can with the gospel. You take it as far as you can. And if you ever come to the point where you feel like, I don't know what to do, or I got lost, or they asked me a question I couldn't answer, all you do is look back at me. And if you look at me, I will step right in and take over from there. Now, for you soul winners that are experienced, that means you can't be on your phone while someone's preaching the gospel. If you're going to train soul winners, you need to be helping them, praying for them, paying attention. So here are the rules, all right? You're out soul winning. One person is speaking at that door. The other person is a silent partner. If the person speaking at that door decides, I can't go any further with this, and they look back, and this person steps in, they tag them in, now you're in, okay, now you're out. Now you're the silent partner. So it's not this thing like they step in, they answer the question, and then you're like, oh yeah, that's what I meant to say, and then you get back in. No. The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. So one speaker at the door, if you tag team out because you didn't know what to say or you weren't sure or you got lost, then just let them take over from then on. Also, if you're out and there's two speakers, generally what we do is we just knock till we talk, all right? So I'll knock doors. If nobody answers the door, we'll move on to the next door and I'll keep knocking until I physically talk to somebody. Then it's the next guy's turn. And we've just found that that's the best way to do it. Some people like to switch every door, but sometimes you just end up getting a bunch of no opens and stuff. So sometimes it's just good to knock till we talk. So letter A, silent partner. Number one, do not interrupt. The key word in the term silent partner is silent. And look, we have a tendency to think that we do everything right and everybody else does everything wrong. But fight that tendency. Like I said, I'm the pastor of the church. There are many times when I'm out soul winning and I'm thinking to myself, like, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have done that. I would have answered this way. But I'm not going to interrupt them and embarrass them in front of the person they're giving the gospel to. Now, obviously, if they're preaching heresy, then you need to let me know that or my wife know that. So number one, do not interrupt. The key word in the term silent partner is silent. Number two, pray silently in your head. You say, what should a silent partner be doing? They should be paying attention. If you're the speaker, you should be paying attention because you may have a partner that looks back at you because they don't know what to say, and you should be ready to jump in. But also, if you're learning, you should be paying attention. When the other guy is giving the gospel, you should be learning and listening to what they're saying because they're going to be using certain verses, certain illustrations, and there's going to be things you like and say, oh, I really like how they explain that, and you can incorporate that into your presentation. But you should also be praying silently in your head that the soul winner would have clarity of mind, that this person would be able to clearly understand the gospel. Pray silently. Now, again, the key word is silently, all right? Because I've been soul winning with people where I'm preaching the gospel, and the silent partner is like, dear Jesus, please help this person to get saved. And I'm just like, can you shut up? So pray silently in your head. And then number three, when appropriate, minimize distractions. When appropriate, minimize distractions. The key word there is minimize. She said, what does that mean? Well, the silent partner can be mightily used of God when you can help minimize distractions. So let's say your partner is giving the gospel to somebody and their buddy shows up. And their buddy is not receptive, doesn't want to hear, but he's just distracting. Well, if you start talking to them and you know they're not going to get saved, but you just start talking to them, and they start arguing with you about the Sabbath day or they're a Jehovah's Witness or something. But you can start giving the gospel to them and just waste a bunch of time with them just to keep them from distracting this other guy. So when appropriate, silent partners should be trying to minimize distractions. They might be able to distract an interrupting friend. You might be able to pet a dog. There's things that you can do to be able to help with those situations. Now, key word there again is when appropriate. When appropriate, okay? Because I've taught this before and people go crazy with it, all right? I'm not saying go pick up somebody's baby. But when it is appropriate and you can help minimize distractions, you should try to minimize distractions. That's a good thing for a silent partner to do. So letter B. Let's talk about the people's property. The people's property. Number one, don't walk on people's grass. Don't walk on people's grass, especially if they have nice grass. Number two, don't sit on people's outdoor furniture. Don't sit on people's furniture. Be respectful of people's property. Don't walk on people's grass. Don't sit on people's outdoor furniture. Letter C, we're talking about the soul winner's rules, right? And we're covering a lot of stuff right now that's just kind of questions that come up and things that people ask about. Letter C, what about no soliciting signs? What about no soliciting signs? All right, let me explain to you the Verity Baptist Church's no soliciting sign policy. Number one, it is our experience that 9 out of 10 doors with no soliciting signs are not going to say anything to you about you knocking on their door. What we have learned is that people get this idea like, if I knock on a no soliciting sign, they're going to come out yelling at me about the no soliciting sign. What I found is that you knock on 10 doors that have no soliciting signs, and 9 out of 10 are never going to say anything to you about it. 1 out of 10, if that, will say, don't you see the sign, or something like that. All right, so it is our experience that 9 out of 10 doors with no soliciting signs are not going to say anything to you in regards to you knocking their door. Number two, it is also our experience that the people who will yell at you for knocking on their door when they had a no soliciting sign, usually these are the people that don't just have a normal no soliciting sign. Usually it's the people that have multiple no soliciting signs. They have a handwritten in red, all caps, no soliciting. They have an overly specific, no religion, no Girl Scout cookies. Generally speaking, the people that are going to yell at you for knocking on the door when they had no soliciting sign, they had more than just a no soliciting sign. They had multiple signs, or it was really specific, or it was handwritten, or something like that. Here's what I'm saying. If I walk up to a door, and there's a no soliciting sign, and it looks like it's been there for 20 years, and it's got cobwebs, that person's probably not going to say anything to you. But if it's like a handwritten no in red, that person probably is going to yell at you. So I'm just trying to help you understand what we've learned over the years, is that, generally speaking, 9 out of 10 doors with no soliciting signs are not going to say anything to you. And usually the one that is going to say something to you, you probably should have known that because it's going to be a little more extreme than just a regular no soliciting sign. So here's our policy. Number three, if you feel comfortable with knocking on a door with a no soliciting sign, go ahead. I don't care. I'm not against you doing it. I'm not going to be mad at you for doing it. Just realize that if you get yelled at, you get yelled at. And if you get yelled at, don't yell back. All right? Don't turn this into a big fight. If you're just like, hey, I'm sorry. I just wanted to invite you to church or whatever. But if you feel comfortable knocking on a door with a no soliciting sign, go ahead. Number four, if you don't feel comfortable with knocking on a door with a no soliciting sign, then don't. All right? I'm not going to tell you you must knock every no soliciting sign. If you feel like it's wrong or you're not comfortable with it, I'm not going to ask you to sin against your own conscience. Okay? So here's our policy. If you feel comfortable doing it, do it. If you don't feel comfortable doing it, don't. And then number five, If you feel comfortable knocking on a door with a no soliciting sign, but your soul winning partner doesn't, just skip it, all right? You don't have to sit there and tell them, well, how are you going to make it through the tribulation or whatever? You know, try to guilt them. Just skip it. Just don't make a big deal about it. If your partner's like, hey, I don't feel comfortable knocking the door, just skip it and move on, and it's not a big deal. So letter C, no soliciting signs. And then letter D, let's talk about our attitude. Number one, always be polite and pleasant, no matter how people treat you. Always be polite and pleasant, no matter how people treat you. And let me tell you something. If you start yelling at somebody, you're the soul winner, and you start yelling at somebody, you've lost. You're wrong. Always be polite, always be pleasant, no matter how people treat you. You don't have to sit there and take it. I mean, when people start yelling at me, I'm like, all right, have a good day, and I walk off. You should always be polite. And then number two, remember that we are uninvited guests. When we knocked on their door, nobody invited us. Now, I believe in confrontational soul winning, and I believe that we should be on the offense, and we should go out and preach the gospel. So I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying, just realize that you were not invited. You are an uninvited guest. So just be careful about how you talk to people, walking on their grass, sitting on their furniture, and all of that. Number four, let's talk about the soul winner's introduction. The soul winner's introduction. And letter A, knock on the door firmly. Knock on the door firmly. So number one, how to knock. First of all, not too soft. Not too soft. Sometimes I've been out with soul winners and I'm just like, what are you doing? And I think with new soul winners, sometimes they're like hoping that somebody doesn't hear them knock. They knock on a door and they're like, and it's like, they're never gonna hear that. And they're like, I know. But then there's the extreme, not too loud. Don't walk up to people resort like a cop or something, like you got a warrant for their arrest. The best way I can put it is this, knock like a normal person, okay? And just in life, that's just a good rule of thumb. Try to be normal, all right? So just knock on a door, not too soft, not too loud, all right, Goldilocks? Make sure that you are just knocking like a normal person, okay? So number one, how to knock. Then number two, procedure in knocking. Procedure in knocking. I like to knock, and then I wait a little bit, and then I might ring the doorbell, then I knock again. And look, you can do whatever you want, obviously. I like to knock. I remember reading a marketing book years ago, a sales book, and it said, salesmen ring doorbells, friends and family knock. So I don't know if that's true or not. I just like to knock. So I knock, I wait a minute, and then if they don't answer, then I'll knock again and ring the doorbell at the same time, the second time. Number three, under that, the third bullet point there, obviously technology changes as time goes on, so this is a new point. Be mindful of the doorbells that record you when you stand in front of them. Those doorbells are recording you. Even if you don't ring the doorbell, they're recording you, okay? So just be mindful of that. So just be careful about the things you're saying and don't be offensive and things like that. Don't criticize the house or something. Letter B, when someone answers the door. So we knocked properly, right? We walked up, we saw that the thing's recording us, so we stopped saying all the weird things. You knock like a normal person, they open the door. When someone answers the door, number one, when the door begins to open, and all conversation between soul winning partners. When the door begins to open and all conversation between soul winning partners, this should just be understood between soul winning partners. And I've seen this, where like you're fellowshipping with your soul winning partner, you're talking, you're having this conversation. And that's good. We want you to do that when you're out soul winning. If nobody gets saved, that's a benefit of soul winning is that you talk to your soul winning partner. But you'll knock on a door, and then the person opens, and then the soul winning partners are still just talking. It's like, that's weird, all right? It's like, just a minute. Let's just finish this little conversation we're having here. When the door begins to open and all conversation between the soul winning partners, number two, take the initiative and start the conversation, okay? Don't allow for awkward silence. Don't allow for awkward silence. We've seen this as well, especially with new soul winners. They're like, I'm going to knock this door. I'm going to talk. They're like, all right, go for it. If you need help, look back, I'll step in. And it's like they knock the door, the person opens the door, and then they just stare at them. And the person's like, can I help you? You knocked on my door. Like, what are you doing? If you're going to talk, take the initiative and talk. When they open the door, Hi, we're coming from Verity Baptist Church. Say something. Don't allow for these awkward silences. And then number three, start with a well-planned introduction. Start with a well-planned introduction. You should have a plan for what you're going to say. And you're going to learn through this seminar that we believe highly of the idea of having a plan and knowing what to say. So you can say whatever you want, but here's a little script for you that might help you. This is what I say at the door. When I knock on the door, somebody opens the door, I just memorize this. Hi, we're coming from Verity Baptist Church. Wanted to give you and your family an invitation to church. Hi, we're coming from Verity Baptist Church. Just wanted to give you and your family an invitation to church. You notice the word Baptist is highlighted there? I like to just make sure that I clearly say Baptist. Now, you should not yell the word Baptist, okay? But I like to clearly say the word Baptist because when you knock on somebody's door, most of the time they're assuming you're a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. So a lot of times, you know, I knock on a door, somebody opens the door, they have like a frown on their face, and I'm like, hi, we're from Verity Baptist Church. Just wanted to give you and your family an invitation to church. And they're like, oh, Baptist? Oh, okay, thanks. So I like to just clearly make sure right off the bat people know we're Baptist, but don't yell it or anything like that. Just clearly state that you're a Baptist so that they know you're not a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. And then letter C, if no one answers the door. If no one answers the door, leave a church invitation on the front door or on the screen. I've got an invitation here. So nobody answers the door, leave the invitation on the door or the screen. Leave the invitation so that it's readily seen. Leave the invitation right side up and facing forward. Put the invitation on the doorknob side away from the hinges. Just put it like a normal person that's not blind. Just pay attention to detail. Just do things nicely. If you're just like, I don't think it matters, I'm sure it doesn't. But just do your pastor a favor and put it like a normal person. So if no one answers the door, leave the invitation. But also do this. Don't take this attitude, because I have known soul winners that they think like, oh, nobody answers the door. I'm not going to leave an invitation. We got to conserve the invitations. No. Always leave something on the door. Always leave something on the door. Remember, we talked about the fact 1,000 of these things just on doors will get a visitor to come and we can preach the gospel. So always leave something on the door. So that's lesson one, preparing for soul winning. We talk about the soul winner's goals, the soul winner's appearance, soul winner's rules, and the soul winner's introduction.